Hi, I'm Mike Sainsbury. Towards the end of last year, Thinkbox, the marketing body set up to promote television in the UK, published an innovative study into marketing and advertising effectiveness. The study was called Profitability, and it outlined the business case for advertising. In this ASI cast, Brian Jacobs discusses the findings with Matt Hill, the Research and Planning Director of Thinkbox, focusing especially on the relationship between short-term and long-term effects.
So hi everybody, this is Brian Jacobs, and today for this ASI cast we're joined by Matt Hill, Director of Research and Planning at Thinkbox. Hi there, Matt.
Hello there.
Hi. So for those of those listeners who aren't really aware of Thinkbox, I'm sure most people these days are, but Thinkbox is the marketing organization responsible for promoting and selling the benefits of television advertising. And the reason that we're delighted that Matt's been able to join us today is that they have done some really really innovative and I would have said groundbreaking work with two consultancy businesses, Ubiquity and Game Theory, into the effectiveness and of advertising per se and marketing. And they've been looking particularly at the issue of short-termism versus long-termism. So, Matt, would you like to say a little bit about this work and introduce it for us?
Yeah, so the background behind this work really is brought out from the fantastic analysis by Peter Field and Les Burnett using the IPA data bank. And in their most recent study, Media and Focus, they found this sort of worrying trend of declining marketing effectiveness. And their data shows, you know, this off a pretty comprehensive database, and they're looking over, you know, a long period of time. They took all campaigns, sort of 10 years ending 2016, 10 years ending 2014. And what they found was that at the sort of the 2012 point, the effectiveness of advertising is starting to go backwards. And a number of issues behind this from, you know, reduced use of extra share of voice as a means to grow markets, so basically reduce budgets, an increasing trend towards short-termism, so a big increase in the number of campaigns that are being planned and executed across less than 6 months, and also a balance shift away from the optimal split between brand and activation. So the 60-40 split of brand activation has gone, moved more towards 50-50. So we thought, that, you know, this is really fascinating stuff, but it's really, really worrying. And we wanted to see if we can build on this work and build on our own sort of experience of working in, around effectiveness studies to build the case for how advertising can drive profit in both the short term and the long term. Obviously, as the trade body for TV, we were really interested in the role that TV was going to play within this and to highlight that. But the overall focus really was to build on this work and create a really strong case for the ability of advertising to generate profit across both the short and the long term.
And to be fair, because there will, of course, be people who are saying, well, yes, you know, you would say that, wouldn't you? You know, TV, I'm sure no one's going to be very surprised to learn, comes out of this very well. But to be fair, Ubiquity and Game Theory have no particular skin in the game as far as TV is concerned. I mean, they have no particular vested interest in TV being promoted above or indeed being demonstrated as being more effective than anything else, have they? I mean, they're entirely media neutral in this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of our core reasons for working with companies like this, is that it's in their DNA of their businesses to be media neutral. They are acting as advisors to their clients. That is their priority. And we're also not, you know, they're not conducting any original research for this study. They're simply taking their existing data set of econometric analysis of their clients' media spend and evaluating how effective it is at driving profit. So you know, from that point of view, they don't have any skin in the game. They are purely looking at how they can offer the best advice to their clients.
Yeah, and I think you made the point that you know, you're trying to demonstrate that advertising per se can be seen as, or should be seen actually, as an investment, not a cost, which is an argument that's been around even longer than me, actually, yeah, quite a long time. But I mean, the point I suppose is that you need to get, or one needs to get, the advertising, the notion of advertising talked about in boardrooms as being an investment, as opposed to it being seen as some pink fluffy thing that marketing people look after.
Yeah, I think the the real challenge is, at the moment, we're going through this phase where we've got more data than ever before that's helping us be able to articulate and explain to the boardroom the impact that advertising is having. The problem is the majority of this data is very short-term in its nature, and it's only providing a partial picture of the impact that advertising drives. So on one hand, we're going, look, for the first time, we can start to account for our investment, and we can start to provide numbers on what it drives. And the businesses are enjoying this, and they like it because everybody gets comforted and likes the feeling of having control over the money that's being spent. But the dangerous side is that this is actually leading us to optimize our spend around more short-term measures, so activation measures, and we're chasing after, in a number of cases, the wrong actual goals, which if we're just looking for high levels of ROI, all we do is we target people who are currently in market, we target the lowest hanging fruit, we reduce our spend, and we have the danger of forgetting about the huge amount of return that's actually generated in the long term. And so a big part of this is you know, I think one of the most interesting stats coming through is that 58% of the profit that's driven by advertising actually comes in the long term. So up to 3 years after the campaign has ended, and only 18% of profit return is visible through attribution modeling. So yeah. If you're basing your decisions off attribution modeling, if you're optimizing your spend around attribution modeling, you're only able to optimize it around one-fifth of the total return. And that's just going to lead us to reduce our budgets.
Yeah. I mean, I think, there was a very good point indeed made in the presentations one of the presentations that was given at your event, which is that, good planning requires real sort of rigor.
Yes.
In that, it's dangerously sort of easy. Or easily dangerous, not sure which way around it should be. But anyway, it's dangerous just to sort of go, oh, look, we've got an ROI of 10, and here we've got an ROI of 5, so that thing is twice as good as the other thing.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think I feel sometimes that, people who are planning, they're making these sorts of calls, but they're not doing the kind of rigorous analysis that people like yourselves, Ubiquity Game Theory, and indeed many others, do sort of in the background. But people tend to sort of shortcut it a bit, don't they?
Yeah, well, it's complicated, and we are as humans, we go for what what seems to be the most sensible answer and the most comfortable thing. So as soon as you've got your head around the idea of ROI, you think you understand the best route to go down, and you start pursuing ROI, but forgetting the bigger picture of actually. We don't really care about high ROI. What we care about is high profitability. And it's just, I think it's reframing the way that we think about ROI. It's a useful measure, but it's not useful in isolation or volume of impact.
Yeah. I mean, we've had Peter Field has indeed spoken at ASI events in the past. And I know from talking to him myself that one of the things that he feels is a real challenge with his work, his and Les's work, has been sort of moving from sort of presentation mode, book writing mode, and all the rest of it, into actually having his theories applied in boardrooms and in companies and following them through, so that they really start to impact how brands actually behave and how advertisers and brand owners behave. Do you think that? I guess you must be very aware of that as a danger.
Yeah, I think it's a real challenge to get this kind of stuff out there and used and recognised. Within businesses. So one of our core target audiences for this research is the sort of financial departments within big advertising businesses. And so we're currently going through the process of working with the Ubiquity and Game Theory to produce a booklet which is focused at this audience. And not coming from the point of view of thinking, this answers all questions, and as soon as a business has got this in front of them, they're going to go, okay, everything's fine. Let's, press the switch on a changing how we, think about advertising. But from the point of view that it shows, look what can be done. Look how a large number of businesses are approaching their marketing and how they're evaluating and how they're thinking about it. And you can do the same. I think that is the power within these kind of studies. Is that it shows the ways in which some of the biggest businesses who are who are really taking their approach to, you know, evidence-based marketing to the next level, and how they're doing it. And I think this can just help as a bit of a guidance for other businesses that they can also take the same approach.
Yeah, because I think it's another challenge, I guess, must be that, you know, there's a sort of temptation to sort of go, yes, fine, but this applies to Procter & Gamble or Unilever or Mars or, you know, the really, really big advertisers out there. But of course, the basic principles apply to, you know, not just the sort of top 10, top 20 advertisers, but to anybody who wants to use advertising as a business tool to drive profit, doesn't it? I mean, it's,
yes. Yeah. I mean, clearly there's a long tail of advertisers and there's a range within that. So this study is based on the larger type of advertisers who are investing money in econometric analysis. So you've got a skew in terms of your data set from the starting point. But you could also think about it from the point of view that these are clearly advertisers who are very good at marketing and want to understand how their marketing works. So it gives this sort of best practice guideline. Mm-hmm. I think it's important when looking at some of the profit numbers in the study to recognize that these are bigger businesses, and bigger business scale is an advantage when it comes to advertising. So the mm-hmm. more, you know, you higher your physical presence, the more stores you have, then the more effective your advertising can be in driving profit. But what it shows is the direction in terms of effectiveness, and what channels are able to drive effectiveness and what scale they're able to drive it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. We did one of these ASI casts a few weeks ago with Matt Green from the WFA, World Federation of Advertisers.
Yeah.
And I asked him pretty well the same question, you know, and he made the point, which I thought was very fair, that yes, of course, you know, not everybody is Procter or Unilever, you know, or Mars or whatever. But he said the fact is that everybody looks to Procter and Unilever and Mars and the rest. You know, people do sort of see those guys as the, you know, the real leaders in sort of marketing. And you know, when people like Mark Pritchard come out and make speeches with, you know, here are my 5 action points or 10 action points or whatever it is for, you know, successful marketing, people do pay attention and they do think, oh, you know, I could do that. And I guess that's the same with you, isn't it? I mean, it's the challenge for you is to make sure that people do understand that this is not something just for the really big guys.
Yeah, I think that's a challenge. But you're right. These businesses are, you know, the P&Gs, their whole business is built around their ability to be very successful when it comes to marketing. So if anyone's going to be getting it right, these guys should be. And I think the same can be applied to this data set. We're looking at, you know, advertisers who are taking their marketing very, very seriously and running some of the most sophisticated analysis you can across it. And so therefore they're going to have this is going to be a good representation of the average big business who's running this type of analysis. And what kind of return they can see across their advertising in the short and the long term.
Well, I do think that, I mean, without, you know, being over flattering you, but I think Thinkbox is without doubt a sort of world leader in amongst sort of TV trade organisations. Do you have any plans to sort of move this sort of work or make this sort of work available to other similar trade organisations in other countries?
I think we got a really interesting initiative with EGTA, who are an organisation that sort of pulled together findings on TV for across Europe. And there's a new group called the Global TV Group, who are, you know, we're getting together and meeting regularly and sharing this kind of information, so that we have evidence not just from single markets but from across the world on the ability of TV to drive business effects. On World TV Day, which was a few weeks ago, not many people know there is a World TV Day, but there is. EGTA, the Global TV Group, released a document which basically covers key facts from across the world in terms of time spent viewing, the ability of TV to drive reach for key audiences, and several effectiveness studies from around the world. And what you do see is that pretty much every territory is very, very similar to the UK, and TV mm-hmm. continues to be a fundamental driver of effectiveness. And this is really important because we are competing with global organisations, who are, you know, have an easier time when it comes to talking about global stats of time spent or you know, total number of views. And it gives them tremendous market power in discussions with global advertisers. So I think it's good to be able to shout about, you know, even though we're a set of localized businesses, TV as a global power is still incredibly important.
Yeah, I think, you know, you make the point that you're competing with global organizations. That's true. But of course, some of these global organizations are not exactly known for their openness when it comes to sharing of data and or indeed even discussing effectiveness of you know, advertisers on their particular, the effect of advertising on their particular platform. But yeah, you're making a good point there that you are at the end of the day competing with these sorts of guys. And I imagine if you were to line up 10 sort of top global CFOs from around the world, they would probably still tend to sort of tell you that if you really want to advertise globally, you need to go on these platforms. And the challenge for you, I guess, is to sort of make television, make them see television per se as being a driver, a great driver of profit.
Yeah, I think I think this is also a bigger challenge, especially with the global advertisers, because there are a lot of savings to be had in coming up with global strategies and a sort of unified approach from a creative angle. And which is, you can get big advertisers who run the same creative across different territories. However, a lot of the time when you're actually speaking to marketing directors, they're saying we're frustrated by this because it isn't optimal because creative is such an important part of the overall effectiveness of campaigns, that if you're running with a suboptimal creative that isn't really, you know, quite right for your local market, you can lose the potential effectiveness that you really should be driving. So I think there's a bit of a challenge between, what's the right balance between being a global business and reaping all the benefits from that, but also having a very local focus.
I think it's the difference between strategy and tactics, isn't it, really? I think, there's there are many, many wonderful case studies of big advertisers running, the same strategic message globally, but, of course, executing it completely differently. And the trick is obviously to sort of ally the sort of the power of local creativity or local execution, be it creativity or indeed how you might use TV, for example. But there's still this strategic sort of overarching thing that says, hey, TV can drive profit and can drive business.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think the issue of strategy versus tactics is probably one for another day. So thanks very much.
Yeah, probably a different conversation.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Matt, on this ASI cast.
Absolutely a pleasure. Thanks so much for inviting me.